would like to go to Paul's epistle to Titus, in the third chapter of Titus this morning. Don't know how long it's been since I've preached on the subject that's on my mind, but I do know many years ago I tried to preach on it, right, even while I was exercising and before I was ordained to the ministry and so forth. But it's one of those subjects that many would think, everyone knows what this is, and it's, if you don't know, it's regeneration. It's being born again. It's not always well known, and the intricacies of that, and the and how God brings that about, that new birth, so it's a good thing to revisit that, as any other subject in God's Word. So I'll pray, and you continue to pray, the Lord will bless this. In this third chapter of Titus, actually has the word regeneration, I'll begin with the sentence in the third verse of the third chapter. Has some contrast here. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. So that's pretty negative sentence right there, that description where he says, for we ourselves were these things. Then it continues in the fourth verse, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So I'm so thankful that in the simplicity of God's word, that He says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Now, if we go, if we remember that third verse, it doesn't mention any works of righteousness there, and we don't have to just say, well, just logically or just make sense or anything, but that we would not have the ability to perform any works of righteousness prior to that new birth. Yeah. We wouldn't have Jesus Christ dwelling within us through the work of the Holy Ghost, and that, which is exactly what that is in the fifth verse there. And so and we'll get into this being born again more deeply in a moment. But it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration. Regeneration is a rebirth, a new birth. It's being born again. And we'll get more into that word again in a moment. That particular phrase is not here. And renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's the renewing of the origin of this, that word of, it's of the Holy Ghost. That the Holy Ghost performs his covenant responsibility. We have the Trinity making this covenant amongst themselves in eternity. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost at some point regenerates all those that God chose and that Jesus Christ saved on Calvary, on the cross. That will happen. So, and then it continues here. It says, renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. All of this salvation is through Jesus Christ. He performed his work, and the Holy Ghost performs his work. And with no assistance from us, God does not have to use, there's no need for him to use any means whatsoever. The Holy Ghost, God, performs this work. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Being justified by his grace. We're justified by grace. We're justified by the blood of Christ. We're justified. We are declared righteous. We're declared just by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That all being done by God himself. That's what regeneration is, a rebirth. It's being born again, and the Holy Ghost performs that. Now, in John chapter 3, Gospel of John chapter 3, and there's so many places, so many scriptures that support this. This certainly is a conversation. And you may have thought, well, if he doesn't go to John chapter 3, when will he go there? That's just reasonable that I would go to John chapter 3. So with his conversation with Nicodemus, this Jewish ruler of the Jews. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. This is second verse here after it gives us his name. And first, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Nicodemus already saw that. He had something there. Number one, why would he have even come to Jesus? Did he not believe that he was a teacher come from God and that his miracles were of God? And that God was with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So there's that regeneration. It's a new birth. It's being born again. That phrase there does not, I mean, even though it is being born a second time, if you will, but that word again means from above. It's above. In fact, the same word is used when Jesus Christ laid down his life and that temple veil was rent from the top to the bottom. That word top is this same word, being born from above. The origin is God. It even says that he cannot see the kingdom of God. This work is from God himself. We are passive in this. We don't have the ability to do this. I think of, in Acts, the second chapter of Acts, on that day of Pentecost, when this is about the 37th verse of the second chapter of Acts, came to mind. Peter had finished preaching here, and it says, Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That does not mean that baptism, water baptism, washes you of your sins. This is because of the remission of sins, that Christ has redeemed you from those sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So there was something that they were to do. If part of that is this, where I just read in the third verse of Gospel of John, the third chapter, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Can't perceive it, can't understand it. can't comprehend it at all. And so if there were something within that kingdom that we're to do whereby we might be born again, then we can't even perceive that or understand it. And then down below it says he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. This is a kingdom once being born again, born from above, born of God, then we have the ability to see it. Those there that heard Peter preach, they had the ability at that point to hear his words preached to a God-called apostle and minister there. And then, the men and brethren, what should we do? What shall we do? Repent, and it says, repent, be baptized. And certainly it's to save yourselves from this untoward generation. It is not to save ourselves eternally. But they're seeing and perceiving that kingdom there. So as we go on, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So Jesus is explaining this in natural terms for Nicodemus, but he is focused in, Nicodemus is focused in on the natural aspect of it. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He's distinguishing between these two for Nicodemus. And Nicodemus is a ruler of the Jews, a very learned man here. And in fact, Jesus even says in the 10th verse, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? So he's teaching Nicodemus this, and also writing this inspired word of God for us, for our benefit. If I thought that I had to do something, whether it's a water baptism or whatever it may be, certainly not live a perfect life, that I might be born again, that I might live in heaven, that I might, through those actions, apply the redeeming blood of Christ to my soul and spirit, then I would... That's just a fearful thought, and I would always think as well. Then how might I lose that? If I got it, if I did something to attain that, then I could lose that as well. We're secure in that, and now we'll get to another aspect of this once we are born again. Let me get this eighth verse. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. There is no exceptions. There's no changes of the way that the Holy Ghost performs this covenant work with anyone. It's all the same. Now, he's saying we don't know where that's going to happen, when the Holy Ghost and where that they will touch the child of God, the unregenerate, and cause them to be regenerated. We don't know where and when this may be. Now, that to me in my mind proves, you know, whenever we baptize someone in water proclamation of your belief in this salvation in Jesus Christ, as an entrance to the church, the kingdom, the visible kingdom of God, we typically know when that's going to be. It's either the next Sunday, it's a couple of weeks, and so forth. Even there that I just read in the second chapter of Acts, they knew, men and brethren, what should we do? And over 3,000 were baptized and added to the church that day. They knew when that was going to happen. That water baptism did not cause them to be born again. The Holy Ghost had already done that. At that point, now in the still in this same gospel, but the 5th chapter of Gospel of John, 24th verse, Jesus Christ speaking here as well. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So he that heareth my word, there's some descriptive words here that Christ speaks. So he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. We already have that. There's that that being born again, that new birth. That is when we are given this eternal life in that act of regeneration. And so if they hear the word, these are things in the kingdom of God, of Jesus Christ, that we're able to perceive and understand and believe this gospel and continue to believe in it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. This is not talking about the dead in the resurrection. This is talking about, because he says, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. So prior to this new birth, being born again, then what state are we in? We can go to Ephesians, the second chapter. And it discusses this as well. It's all over, and I certainly won't go through all of this and want to move along. But in the second chapter of Ephesians, I have already probably quoted this in your mind. That first verse says, "And you hath he quickened, made alive." You're given that life at that point, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, what would a naturally dead person do to gain life again? He can't do anything. They're dead. We were dead in trespasses and sin. Where did this happen? Our father Adam plunged us into that by his breaking the law of God given him there in the garden. You were dead and trespasses and sins. This is the new birth where we were quickened. I think one more verse I want to grab here and then and go back to the first chapter of the Gospel of John. Fifth verse, second chapter of Ephesians. Even when we were dead in sins, I'm going to grab this whole sentence. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. I look at it as we study the children of Israel, that family of the Hebrew people, and his promised people, his chosen family there, he loved them. Certainly God loved them in that, and I can't even describe it, but I think of a natural parent. He loved them enough to chastise them, to punish them, but he never stopped loving them and guided them through. Certainly his promise to Abraham was accomplished there. And then he wraps it up here in the eighth verse, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, in a moment, I'll emphasize this a little bit more, but any of these works of righteousness, and we could go to Romans 10 and see that, that Paul had a desire, his heart's desire and prayer, that Israel, that they might be saved, from what? From ignorance. They were going about to establish their own righteousness. Now, should we live a good life and aim toward a perfect life here in reverence to God? Yes, we should do that. It is because we're already born again, born from above. We have that within us, and yet we still battle these things. But so it's not of those works that we're saved. It's by the grace of God. The first chapter of John, Gospel of John, again. about the 11th verse. Speaking of Jesus here, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, I will continue that sentence in a moment, but just reading that in the English language here, it appears that as many as received Jesus, then he gave them the power to become the sons of God, a son of God, a child of God. That's not what this is talking about. If we finish this sentence and then go back, we'll see that. So those that receive, this is talking about fellowship with Jesus Christ here and now. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We already know if we believe on his name, we have everlasting life. We already know that. But then he goes on talking about these people here that received him, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. There's the origin. It's of God here. And so he covers everything here. It's not talking about family ties, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. It's not by some action of the flesh that we do, whether it's baptism or anything else, or accepting him or so forth, nor the will of man, not anybody else. It's not according to those things, But it's of God, and so this is a fellowship here. This is even more so, and that's why we should be thankful that we have been born again. Prior to how many countless children of God at their time of natural death. Then that's when they're born again. That could happen. We don't judge that. There's no reason to. But we should be thankful that we have had that new birth within us, that the Holy Ghost has regenerated us, that we might serve him. But the countless blessings of this fellowship here, being a true son of God, a disciple of Christ. And so this is where I fail. This is where I'm thankful that it's not my action that will born me again, that will regenerate me. It's the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost uses the same power, God Almighty, the Trinity, that Christ used and that God used to raise him from the dead to in that new birth, in that action. And yet we're blessed here, as is described, to them that believe on his name. There is something to that, and I'm thankful for that. Now I want to go ahead and close with going to Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, the 36th chapter. That's okay. You may have something on your heart. I don't know. The 36th chapter of Ezekiel. This prophecy here, it's beautiful. Let me read it. I'm going to start in the 24th verse. Ezekiel 36, if you're following along in your Bibles. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Those there in that second chapter of Acts that I quoted, read to you, that were pricked in their heart, they had that heart already of flesh that it's referring to here. And he takes away the stony heart. Now they were those that were not born again children of God, and that with that stony heart, they are cut to the heart. And I think of someone who carves things out of stone, a sculptor, and so forth, and of cutting that stone, but this here, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and will give you an heart of flesh. And so that happens in that regeneration, in that new birth, being born from above by God Almighty through the Holy Ghost. And I will put my spirit within you, and will cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. I read that and I think, I can't possibly be one of his, because I don't do that. I'm unsuccessful. I fail at so many of those things. But I have to fall on his mercy, the same mercy that saved me, the same mercy whereby the Spirit there in the third chapter of Titus came and the regenerated, the child of God that chosen before the foundation of the world in eternity, and that the Holy Ghost covenanted to do this within the Trinity. So we do fail in this, yet we have the mercy of God, and he shows us. What's another blessing of feeling all of this and being born again is that we feel his love, even in chastisement, even when God is punishing us, chastising us in love for what we might have done or not done. We still feel his love in our lives, within our soul and spirit. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people. There's another phrase, my people, that I tried to preach on a few weeks ago, that he calls us, and he called them my people. Ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. That's him. He doesn't change. God was my God last week. I was part of his people then and now. And so then God give me the strength when I struggle to do as I should, not that I might be born again, that new birth, that rebirth, that renewing of the Holy Ghost, but because God, the Holy Ghost, has done that, he has quickened me, as it said in Ephesians, the second chapter. That's been done, and so I have that life. Yes, there's so many times a struggle, but when God blesses us to have that sweet fellowship there in the first chapter of John, those that received him were blessed, and yet when I wander from that, when I separate myself from that great love, and he'll never forsake me, but I feel the loneliness, the depression in that. But if we look to him for our strength now and pray that he'll give us strength to follow him, and so many of you have done that then in baptism and so forth. And so I'm thankful for that. And he delights in that. He is well pleased. He doesn't want of that. He doesn't want for anything. But he delights in that. And that is glorifying to him. When we battle our fleshly nature and call upon our new spirit within us to follow him, I'm so thankful for that edification. May God bless and keep you is my prayer.